Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can take us with you when you're on the move by going to the TuneIn app. You can download that from the App Store or the Play Store, and when you get the TuneIn app, you can find all kinds of radio stations, but we'd like you to have 96.9, and you can listen to us all day. Or specifically on Wednesday evenings when it's time for The Blank Canvas. So tonight we are moving away from the visual culture part and we're focusing on the creative community part because we do have a really wonderful creative community here, and that extends into dance, cuisine, etc., and also the written and spoken arts. So this evening I have a group of wonderful, I'm going to say young people. I hope you don't take that badly. I'm turning 52 this year, so everyone seems pretty young to me, from University of the Bahamas. So I'm welcoming back Tanisia Pratt. Good evening.
Good evening.
And also Suhaila Hepburn, who's also been on the show.
Good evening.
And a new time.
Ooh.
First time, I know. Woohoo! Ide Amari Thompson.
Good evening, everyone.
Welcome to the show. And I actually love that your name, Ide, means idea in French.
Because it sort of
connects with the whole idea of creativity and all the rest. So Tanisha, you reached out to me. You have a lot to talk about. Tell us all about your group. You're here to specifically speak about the Tamarind Journal and the resurrection.
Yes. Okay. So me, Suhaila, and Ide, we're three of the many editors of the Tamarind Journal. The Tamarind Journal was first started in 2008, but it never really got off the ground. So we, the students of UB, decided that we would take that initiative and we would revamp it, hopefully to bring on a fresher idea of the 21st century, specifically of this year, and to not only showcase former writers or popular writers, but also the new and upcoming writers of our time.
And is it a certain kind of writing? Is it prose? Is it poetry? Is it both? Can someone put a scene from a play in there? Or is it any kind of literary creation, or
yes,
does it have a focus?
Yes, everything within the realm of creative writing. So like you said, for example, playwriting, proses, spoken word pieces, songwriting, lyrics.
Oh,
essays as
okay.
well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Good. Okay.
Yeah, essays as well. So whatever the person is more prone to writing within that creative realm, they're free to submit. With the Tamarind Journal, though it focuses on creative writing, we also have a space for visual artists as well, people that also do film. I had someone come up to me and ask me, oh, well, can they submit a film? And we said, sure, you can submit a film, you can send us clips, you can do a write-up along with it to explain what the film is about, and that would also be published as well.
Well, I'm imagining, because that was going to be my next question, you actually almost answered one of my next questions. I'm going to run out of questions really quickly. One was visual art, so you answered that.
Because
I imagine that, you know, there's room for illustration and things like that, but I think my next question was going to be, was the I don't want to use the word failure, the hesitation on the part of the Tamarind Journal, was that part of a printing process? And has it now changed because of all the developments in online printing that you can now actually open to things like film? Because I would imagine, you know, in 2008, which it was only 8 years ago, but things were really different.
Exactly.
If people think journal, they think printed material. Yeah. Was the fact that they were trying to actually print it one of the things that blocked it? Because obviously printing is very expensive.
Yes, printing is very expensive. And then thankfully we have this new age where technology is what is grasping everyone's attention. So with the use of technology, we decided that the Tamarind Journal would be a digital journal. So we would have annual issues that would start the beginning summer, end of spring. And we would also have a website where we post weekly submissions. Now, that doesn't mean that if people do submit, that if they are denied for the annual publication, that they won't be able to join the weekly publication. But also people who are a part of the weekly publication, it doesn't mean that because they are a part of the weekly publication that they will not be allowed to submit. So it goes either way, depending on the talent, depending on the room. So
how do you access the weekly publication?
Well, it should be on our Facebook
page. It should be on the website.
Okay.
But the website is still under construction right now.
Okay.
So right now we're really focusing on a call of submission so we can get a lot of
So you can have the relaunch. You can basically do a big... And how did it... So tell us a little bit. Okay, I'm going to let someone else talk. It could either be Ide or Suhaila. How did you decide to all come together and do this? And how do you actually be co-editors? Because, again, being an editor or a director or anything like that is normally like, you're taking control. It's all about you. How do you manage to co-do that?
Well, when it came together, because the School of English, they sent out an email asking for anyone who want to be editors, you know, for the media editor, the chief editor in chief, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, I saw it as like, hey, I want to do this. And then I wrangled in Sahila.
Dragged you in kicking and screaming.
not kicking and screaming. He dragged me in.
Yeah. I mean, we have an awesome relationship, you know. Ride or die over there, you know, because we met in a Dr. Austin's, Tiffany Austin's, in a restaurant at the university, her great writing class, and then the friendship just blossomed, you know,
And do you, what is the system for selecting the work that goes in then? Is that a vote system? Is there one person that gets it aside? And like, what is one of you visual editor and one of you content editor, or is one poetry and one prose, or do you just kind of vote? Well, how does that work?
We don't really have like a system of like voting. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of like reviewing the content and then making the decision. Does this fit? Is this good enough to put in the journal itself? Is this at the level what we want it to be? Like separating different like type of prose, whose content there's not particular editors for that, but the only specific editor we have for the visual arts aspect is my sister Amani. Mm-hmm. She's the
who's always at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. So shout out to Amani.
Yeah, so she's the main art editor who deals with the overall art direction and setup for the journal. Mm-hmm. So while the group of us is a group of us are the like. Review all the content equally. It's specifically the art that Amani has the main last say in it. It because of her like
expertise.
Yeah.
Her
background, because you know exactly.
Yeah, well, now obviously she's released it so engaged. It's fantastic. And I have to also just say, I think it's fantastic you're doing this, because very often, you know, I get people coming and they're like, you know, specifically visual artists, you know, how do I get my work in the National Gallery? And you're like, well, you got to do it yourself a little bit first, right? Everyone who's starting out has to make it happen for themselves. You know, exactly. You can't really expect to just be scooped up. So I'm like very impressed that you guys are self-publishing in a serious way, you know, using a platform at the University of the Bahamas and your network to do this. Because again, being published is a big deal, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And in 2 or 3 years, and you can say, well, I've been published X amount of times, and here's the document, even if it exists online.
Right.
That has a value. And so I would say the same thing to visual artists. You know, find any space you can, you know, and put a show on, and invite your friends, and invite people like me, and, you know, make it happen. Yeah, yeah. And then you can say, I've done 15 solo shows or whatever, right? Yeah. And learn that process. So I'm really very, very impressed that you all decided to do this.
Yeah. And that I think like is really important, because the Bahamian art space is so vibrant. That's great writing. Like we have so many other, you know, of our friends on campus who write, but they don't put themselves out there.
They're scared
sometimes.
Like, hey, y'all stop being so scared. y'all hindering yourselves.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, well, that good for you for saying that. And also don't be afraid of rejection. Because, you know, that's all part of the learning process, right? Is that you know, even, you know, again, even at my age, I was just given an interview and I can't remember what it was like. What's the best advice you ever had or something about advice? And I said, well, the day you stop thinking you need advice, you have a problem.
Yeah.
Right. That's when you have a problem.
That's true.
You know, even if you are the director or whatever, like you still need to know that you're going to make wrong decisions and you need people to, you know, and I think that fear of rejection is a big deal. But I think it's a really important part of growing as an artist or as any kind of professional. How do you deal with that when you have to tell someone, okay, sorry, it's not going to be in the journal? How do you deal with that yourself? Like as the editors, how do you give that news? How do you get reactions that are complicated to deal with, especially if it's your peers?
Well, being published, I've never really had an instance where I've been rejected, like to my face. Someone said, "Oh, your work sucks." Apply next time. No, like they just didn't respond. They just didn't respond. So I just stayed consistent. I published to as much places as I can until I eventually got someone to open the door and say, "You know what? I do like this work," and it's just so gratifying, especially when you submit to other publications, but then when you land one is like the big fish. So so yeah, I just would, my advice would just to be always be consistent, always try to find ways to cultivate your skills, to develop your writing skills as well. You have to read as much as you write as much as you read. It's an ongoing cycle. Look for things outside of the space, other things that can influence you and influence your writing, so you can give a more broader perspective, but yet it can still be you. So yeah, besides that, as an editor, we haven't gotten to the point yet where we're declining submissions right now.
Yeah
so it's trickling in.
Well, so also that's something you want to promote the idea that you want submissions. So tell us a little bit about the submission process. Like, how was somebody listening now, they're like, okay, I'm writing an essay in you know, I'm writing my novel.
Yeah,
I want to get the first chapter published.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Ide, are you going to speak to that a little bit?
Definitely, yeah, because right there, I actually have a call for submissions right there, a flyer. So basically, our theme for this submission is, for this journal, for this edition of it is, tropical forces, the things that shape you.
Okay.
So we wanted to make it very open to, you know, a Bahamian, but also Caribbean kind of, you know, an expressive kind of theme. So basically, the ways you can submit to the journal, we have a Google Forms page where you need to have a Gmail account.
Okay.
And you can go in there and fill out a document and submit your pieces through that. And we also have our email, tamarindjournal.editors@gmail.com.
tamarindjournal.editors@gmail.com,
where people can send their work directly.
That's good, because not everyone has a Gmail account. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, well, that's great. We're going to talk more about that after the break, especially the topic, which I'm actually really interested in, because we have a show on right now at the National Art Gallery, which sort of deals with some of these ideas of tropicality. And I think that's very, very, very interesting. So tamarindjournal.editors@gmail.com, and that's tamarind, T-A-M-A-R-I-N-D. Journal, G-O-U-J, can't believe it's too early in the morning, journal.editors@gmail.com. In fact, in French, G is G, and J is G. So it's very, very confusing. not that that's my excuse, but, you know, and actually my husband's German, and telling the time is, you don't say 9:30, you say it's 9:30 to 10. And that one just throws me all the time. I know, listen, it's crazy.
Same
anyway.
It's just like...
Yeah, so there we go. That's a whole show about another kind of culture, right? Culture and time-telling and words and confusion. We are here with three wonderful University of the Bahamas students. They are here to speak about the Tamarind Journal, which is rising from its ashes, I suppose, or something like that.
Like the phoenix.
Like the phoenix, exactly. Exactly. Suhaila Hepburn, Tanisha Pratt, and Ide Amari Thompson. They are picking up the journal that was produced at University of the Bahamas and then sort of fell by the wayside for a bit. And now with all the kind of fantastic opportunities with the internet and self-publishing, they are bringing that back to life. It's a journal that is for prose, poetry, also artwork, film clips, etc. And they are encouraging people to send in submissions to tamarindjournal.editors@gmail.com. We're going to speak more about that after the break. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.